Hi, it's Dwyer, gamblersadvisory.com, DwyerSportsBetting.com. Today is September the 13th, 2017. I'm nursing a little bit of a cold. Remember, the opinion you should follow should be your own. Just consider this video to be a second opinion from a complete stranger online. Now let me just say, you know, profits are the gap between what people think and what reality is. There's a group out there right now that's dead wrong about this fight. Right? Dead wrong about this fight. Many people see it as a 50-50 fight. Maybe the person who's dead wrong about the fight is me, but I'm going to tell you what I think. First, let's just do a quick roll call on some names who have opinions on this fight. Right? We'll call it the Canelo crowd here. This is the group that feels that Canelo wins the fight. And interestingly enough, some in this group actually were in the ring with Canelo, right? So, Amir Khan is picking Canelo. Floyd Mayweather is picking Canelo, right? You have a guy who had a belt, Gervonta Davis is picking Canelo. You have a surefire boxing Hall of Famer. In fact, I'll name two. Juan Manuel Marquez picking Canelo, Carl Froch picking Canelo, right? Now, let me just say, I don't see the fight as close. I'm going to disagree with these guys. Let's talk about some of the people who are picking Golovkin. ESPN, Stephen A. Smith, right? Freddie Roach, James Toney. Now, let me point out that I've put an interview with James Toney on this fight, and it's one of the best interviews I've seen of James Toney. It's done by a guy with a YouTube account here. Let me shine a light on his account. I don't know him. He's doing a great job. His name is Stephen Lim. The James Toney interview is in my favorites folder here online. Now, let me just say, for me, it really boils down to a different fight. In fact, it's the pre-fight and the fight. I saw Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. show up at his weigh-in, and he looked terrible. I mean, he looked completely terrible, right? He hadn't made 164 and a half pounds for years. It showed, right? Before the fight, he was walking around wearing sunglasses. He didn't want people to see, in my opinion, his sunken eyes. He looked like a scarecrow. That's the word I like to use for guys who show up dehydrated, looking vulnerable at their weigh-in, even though the fight is the next day. Think about how preposterous it is. If you had a son and suddenly your son, over a 24-hour span, loses 20 pounds and looks like a wreck, wouldn't you be concerned, especially if you knew your son the next day was going to fight a world-class fighter? Well, all I can say is, I have a hard time believing that one of the hardest punchers in boxing, and that's who Canelo is, could have shown up at that weigh-in, looked at a dehydrated Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and not thought to himself, this dude's going down when I turn up the heat. I'm going to test his stamina. I'm going to test his punch resistance. I'm going to make it impossible for him to go the distance unless it's a Shannon Briggs, Vitaly Klitschko situation where the guy's completely battered and finished, right? And it's just a shell of himself for several rounds. Well, lo and behold, the fight starts. Canelo obviously has a bunch of advantages over Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., right? But for some reason, Chavez Jr. was able to move away from Canelo, right? For some reason, at a weight that Chavez Jr. hadn't been for years, he was able to avoid getting stopped. There are scenes in that fight where this dehydrated guy was able to get Canelo with his back up against the ropes. Right? I have to question, and it's a key part of this fight. I have to question Canelo's foot speed. I believe the catch on this fight is that people look at films and they say, oh, Canelo puts his punches together well. Oh, when you come at Canelo, Canelo is able to handle himself. He's an excellent boxer. Right? The problem is that Canelo fights have to go a certain way. They have to go at a certain pace. Right? Fighters who come in the pocket against Canelo have problems with him. Right? But fighters who don't have to come in the pocket don't. Right? Also, Canelo isn't going to be able to fight at a frenzied pace for 12 rounds. Right? He wouldn't be able to hang with Manny Pacquiao, folks. I'm just keeping it real here. Right? Canelo really is a guy who fights 2 minutes of every 3 minutes. He wants a leisurely pace. Now, let me just say, he's tailor-made. I mean tailor-made for Golovkin. In fact, dare I say, maybe the narrative on this fight is off. I know Golovkin, in selling tickets, is saying, this is the toughest fight I've had in my career. Right? From this seat, I'm going to beg to differ. In fact, I believe Golovkin's fight against Danny Jacobs was a much more dangerous opponent than Canelo, because Jacobs can come find you. Right? Just ask Peter Quillin. Right? Jacobs can come find you. I don't believe Canelo can. Let me also point out that there's a moment of truth in the Jacobs fight. Right? For those of you who want to believe that Golovkin has lost his fastball, I'll concede that when Danny Jacobs goes southpaw in the middle of the fight, it throws off Golovkin. Now, that might matter if Golovkin were fighting Andre Ward or James DeGale, right? Or even Terrence Crawford, right? If he's fighting a guy who is ambidextrous, Tyson Fury, and suddenly you get the feeling that if a guy can switch to southpaw in the middle of a round, it's going to befuddle Golovkin. Okay, I'd buy that. The last I checked, he's fighting Saul Alvarez. Folks, Saul Alvarez is not going to be able to go southpaw on Golovkin. Right? Now's not the time to get novel when you're in against another one of the biggest punchers in the sport. Right? Canelo's not going to show up and suddenly start trying out stuff he hasn't tried before. So throw that part of the Danny Jacobs fight out. Somebody here in the comment section to this video, tell me why they feel that Danny Jacobs is not better than Canelo. Right? You know, let's just say Jacobs is longer, he's rangier, he's doing certain things, front foot, back foot, right hand, left hand, right? Throws jabs with both hands, folks. Now, Golovkin just went through that ordeal. For the record, I thought Golovkin won the fight, right? He scores the only knockdown in the fight. Aren't things going to be a lot simpler against Saul Alvarez? I mean, a lot simpler. Also, for those of you who say, hey, look, Canelo's better in the pocket, I'm telling you, there are fighters out there right now who've made an entire career out of not being in the pocket. Right? I'm guessing there are a lot of heavyweights out there who are better deep in the pocket than Deontay Wilder. The point of Wilder's success is he doesn't have to be in the pocket to knock you out. Nor does Golovkin. Let's talk about Golovkin. And the person whose opinion on the fight shocks me the most is Carl Froch. Let's talk about why. Now first, just understand that I'm a firm believer in a creed that Bill Russell used to talk about, the NBA great. You know, Mr. 10 fingers plus an 11th ring. Russell used to say, you know, the great ones are always different. Right? There's some book on how to do things. The great ones look at that book and they write their own chapters. Right? So you're looking at, you know, Usain Bolt. And he's not the best out the blocks, is he? Right? You've seen several Usain Bolt races where other guys are ahead at 30 meters. But yet, whatever Usain Bolt is doing, he is the gold standard. At 100 and 200. Right? As awkward as he is, that awkwardness gets him record times. Now, Golovkin has one of the most unique styles in the entire sport. Canelo is following the orthodox book. He does many things very well. Right? Decent jab. If the fight's a slow pace, he can reach across the ring and hit you, right? Reaches across the ring, drops Austin Trout. Reaches across the ring, drops Amir Khan, right? He can do that if everything's aligned, right? Everything's not going to be aligned against Golovkin. Let's talk about Golovkin's style. You know, forget about the CompuBox numbers, right? Because there are things that aren't on CompuBox. One of them is Golovkin's singular sense of spacing. Folks, I mean, understand, Golovkin is going to spend the first round not trying to get close to Canelo. He's just going to be walking around the ring, figuring out the angles. Right? He doesn't even have to throw a jab to keep you outside. He knows the spacing. Keep in mind, this is the guy who's two-handed. He can knock you out with a left or a right. Keep in mind, his punches aren't that straight. He throws them at a little bit of an angle. So later in fights, when a technician sees him throwing a right hand and says, oh, let me block this, and tries to track the hand, the hand's not coming in straight, it's coming in at a little bit of a curve. You don't know if it's going to hit you in the temple or on the chin. When you're tired, after having been in fear of being knocked out during the earlier rounds, you might pick the wrong spot, get drilled in the temple, get knocked out. Understand, Golovkin doesn't even have to hit you in the temple. Right? He knocks out guys hitting them on the top of the head. Right? Look at the guy who fought Kelly Pavlik. Right? I forget his name. Marco Antonio. Forget his last name. YouTube, just put it in the comment section of this video. Right? He knocks out that guy with a shot to the top of the head. He hits that hard. Right, one of the more intriguing videos here online is an interview of Danny Jacobs, who was in the ring with Golovkin, who says, you know, really, this fight comes down to, now this is a guy who's tasted Golovkin's power. He said, this fight comes down to whether Canelo can take Golovkin's power. Right, understand, Danny Jacobs doesn't know if Canelo can take Golovkin's power. Because Golovkin's power is that prodigious. So, a fighter like David Lemieux, a fighter like Kasim Uma, they were able to turn up the pressure on Golovkin because they have foot speed and determination, right? David Lemieux's the kind of guy who, when he's on the road, he's running red lights and stop signs. So David Lemieux is fearlessly coming inside on Canelo. On Golovkin. He's forcing Golovkin to fight him up close. Right? Kasim Uma, who I believe had one of the best fights I've ever seen against Golovkin, comes up and is right here on Golovkin, gives him all kinds of trouble. The problem I have is, if Canelo couldn't get up close for any sustained period of time on a dead man walking, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., whose career was in decline before the fight, at the reduced weight that he was lucky to make, right? If Canelo couldn't cut off the ring and let this guy know your conditioning is gonna be an issue when he was fighting a scarecrow, how is he possibly going to be able to avoid the bombs Golovkin will be throwing from long range? This is Deontay Wilder with two hands, right? And then push the issue to actually use foot speed to get up on him, right? Understand, many of Canelo's fights are optical illusions. He's fighting James Kirkland. James Kirkland's tailor-made for him. James Kirkland runs in on him, right? You're seeing guys run in on him. Think about it. Austin Trout gets knocked down, gets off the canvas against him, right? Canelo couldn't close the show in that fight, right? Austin Trout is outside. Canelo couldn't get inside on Austin Trout. How's he going to get inside on Golovkin? I don't believe he'll be able to survive outside on Golovkin. Isn't the worst kind of opponent for a fight against Golovkin an opponent who wants to fight at a slower pace, who doesn't have a lot of foot speed? Folks, that's what you have with Saul Alvarez. Right? It takes a while to figure out Golovkin. When I first saw Golovkin, and he was a decorated amateur, I thought, you know, gee, maybe there are holes in his game. There's a tape here online of him fighting Lucien Boutte, damn good fighter, as an amateur. Right? And Boutte is giving him the business. Boutte, boxer puncher, is winning the fight. But you know, a guy with punching power only has to be right once. Right? You understand that. You know how that fight ends. Golovkin lands, right? He's born with heavy hands, folks. Punchers are born, they're not made. Golovkin lands, life changes. Right? He wins the fight. Now, my point to you is, Lucien Boutte is better than Canelo. Right? Golovkin has been in the ring with multiple guys who are better than Canelo, right? The shortcoming on Canelo is the pacing and stamina. Go back and look at his fight against Alfredo Angulo, El Piro. He's landing hellacious shots. Angulo, not defensively blessed, right? Let's be clear. But then you're going to notice that during that fight where he's blowing out an opponent who, of course, is coming to him. In other words, you fight Alfredo Angulo, you don't even have to know where he is. Just look at your watch. Within 5 seconds, he's going to be right here in front of you. Right? Canelo looks great in blowing out Alfredo Angulo. Then you notice something odd happening in that fight. And it's real odd. Angulo, while he's getting blown out, right? Angulo's a warrior, so he's surviving the rainstorm, right? His head's getting ripped every which way, but Angulo is there to fight, right? That's who he is. He's a fighter. Then you notice that Canelo is punching himself out. There are rounds in that fight where Canelo just goes to the ropes. He's that tired from throwing punches on Angulo. And keep in mind, it's not like Angulo had Canelo using his legs. Right? Canelo got to fight Angulo right here. It's not like Canelo's running around the ring trying to track down Angulo. So here's what I see happening in this fight. I think it's Golovkin by stoppage. I don't think the fight's going to be the hailstorm everyone else does. I actually think because of the spacing, right? Canelo is going to come out. He's going to look at Golovkin. When Canelo takes a step forward, you'll notice Golovkin take a step back. Golovkin's a patient stalker. He's not a guy who's going to run across the ring at the opening bell. Very cerebral guy. Very cerebral guy. He's going to be just walking around. That first round is going to be tepid. Neither guy is going to want to make the fight. Then Golovkin is going to start raining shots from across the street. Understand, Canelo is not going to be able to take that extra step to get inside. That's just not who he is. Right? Let me just say, too, that Golovkin doesn't have to take the extra step to get inside. Because like Deontay Wilder, like David Haye, he knows that he could knock you out from across the room. Let me also say, too, that because Canelo is orthodox, in other words, you pick up a book, How to Box, it shows you the right stances and stuff, he's predictable. So Golovkin's going to know what Canelo's doing. Because Golovkin is unorthodox, again, knocks out a guy with a shot to the top of the head. The guy I'm thinking of is the guy who gave Lemieux his first loss, right? Because Golovkin can hit you, you know, literally on a shoulder and knock you out. And because he could do it with both hands, and because he could do it from distance, and because his punches aren't straight, they have a little bit of a curve on them. He's throwing sliders. He's throwing slurves at you. I don't think Canelo is going to be able to figure out what Golovkin's doing. So I see this fight as a stoppage, but here, I'm going to change what I said in an earlier video because of the line movement. Incredibly, the later money is coming in on Canelo. Right? I'm baffled by it, personally. But it's okay. It's okay. When I have a disagreement with the crowd and I think I'm right, I think it's a profit opportunity. So, because the line on Golovkin has come down a bit, the bet I'm recommending is Golovkin simply to win the fight. Hedged with the under in some casinos, you can, in exchange for reducing your rate of return, you can actually get a higher round. Over under, right? If you could get that 9.5 rounds up to 10 or 11, good for you, right? The reason for the under on the over under as a hedge is because I believe Golovkin wins this fight by knockout, and that'll actually give you the opportunity to win both halves of the play. Right? In other words, Golovkin wins by knockout on the under part of the fight. You win on the Golovkin simply to win, and you clean up on the knockout part. Whereas if Canelo wins by knockout, then you're hedged, right? If he gets the knockout relatively early in the fight on the under part of the 9.5 over under, you're good, right? Because that part of the bet would pay off. Let me just say, though, that for Canelo to get the knockout, he's going to have to do it early. Because I'm just telling you, Golovkin's in better shape. Right? Golovkin is the guy who, in my opinion, as this fight gets to the later rounds, is going to be physically more dominant. So the only way, in my opinion, Golovkin gets caught in this fight is early. Canelo has to land big shots early. I got bad news for Canelo. He's not fighting Josecito Lopez. He's not fighting James Kirkland. He's not fighting Liam Smith. He's not fighting guys who are going to come to him. No, this is an advanced fighter. He really is the best middleweight of our time. This is an advanced fighter who's going to stay outside and who knows he's not fighting Marvin Hagler. Let's just say, if you want to know the kind of fighter who would give Golovkin a hard time, it's Marvin Hagler. Why? Look at the first round of Hearns Hagler, right? Hearns is throwing all kind of artillery at Marvin Hagler, right? Marvin Hagler is coming forward, right? That's who Marvin is. Marvin throws short punches. Marvin is determined to get inside the pocket, right? You can't fight Marvin Hagler and say, you know what? And I'm mentioning Hagler because he's one of the great middleweights in history, just like Golovkin is. Right? So, and also, Hagler's left-handed. Danny Jacobs goes to southpaw, confuses Golovkin. So, in my opinion, Golovkin's worst nightmare would be Marvin Hagler. Right? Other than fighters like Ward and DeGale, who can switch on a dime, right? Both of whom have the gift of spacing. Those guys would give Golovkin a hard time because, you know, just like Ward got inside on Kovalev, Ward would be trying to get inside on Golovkin, right? Just understand, Canelo, in my opinion, doesn't have the foot speed. Can't drive in fifth gear for 12 rounds. Doesn't have the foot speed, doesn't have the pacing to fight that kind of fight. If Golovkin doesn't rush in to the pocket and stays on the outskirts of the pocket throwing bombs, I believe this fight is a mismatch that's going to end by stoppage in Golovkin's favor. I'm expecting a stoppage. I like Golovkin here, right? I believe he's fought tougher opponents, right? Including Danny Jacobs. I like Golovkin here. Canelo, I think people are going to be surprised how much smaller Canelo is than Golovkin, but more importantly than the size, I believe people are going to be surprised by how Golovkin's able to dampen what Canelo is doing. Canelo's not a guy who likes to get on his front foot to hunt down an opponent. Let me also say, too, some people think that Golovkin is Mike Tyson. He's not, right? Mike Tyson's a guy, look at the Brian Nielsen fight, who, you know, if he thought that he could rough you up deep in the pocket, that's where he's going. Right, you're on the clock with Mike Tyson. It's kind of like an Alfredo Angulo type thing. You're there and you know, okay, Tyson's going to be here in a second or two. That's not Golovkin. Don't be surprised in the first round if Golovkin's just walking around looking at Canelo. Right? It's a tribute to Golovkin that he has so many early KOs. But understand, those are KOs that he gets after reading the lay of the land. He's not a guy who runs across the ring. Let me close by simply saying that I honestly could not imagine, and I'm serious about this, could not imagine Golovkin showing up for a weigh-in, looking across at a dehydrated Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and not saying to himself, this fight's not going seven rounds. Not showing up on fight day, ready to up the tempo to take out an opponent who physically is just not ready to fight. There's no way that Chavez Jr. goes 12 against Golovkin. Folks, he went 12 against Canelo. That should tell you all you need to know about this fight. How could a guy, you know, a guy like that, I could just imagine Julian Jackson fighting a guy like that, right? If you're a slugger with a big punch and you look at a guy who's barely been able to make weight, whose career's already in decline, who has lost to Andres Funfara, who quit in that fight, and here he is dehydrated and stuff like that, it's absurd that Chavez Jr. was able to go 12 rounds against Canelo. That tells you Canelo is not Roberto Duran. Right? On his front foot, Canelo is not going to get a weakened opponent completely cornered and outgunned. That's not his game. He's going to come in slower paced. Think about it. Floyd Mayweather's fighting him. Floyd's off to a fast start in the fight. Has won the first part of the fight. Canelo's unbeaten at the time. Floyd hurts his hand. Right? Floyd, decent puncher, but not an outsized puncher. Was never one of the biggest punchers in the sport. Now, you're Canelo, and you know that your only chance of winning that fight after the eighth round is by stoppage, right? Let's say Floyd has won at least six of the first eight rounds in that fight, right? Am I the only person who was disturbed by the lack of urgency in Canelo's corner? By the lack of urgency in the fighter? I'm watching Badu Jack against James DeGale. DeGale has that fight, right? DeGale's won the fight, at least on my scorecard, right? Badu Jack needs to do something big in the last round to be in the conversation of being plausible to win the fight. I know many of you disagree with me. I'm just telling you how I saw it. Badu Jack comes out in that 12th round. You sense the urgency, don't you? You understand Badu Jack is going to leave nothing on the sideline. It's now or never. He understands it. Even if he thinks he's winning, he has to think to himself, this fight is close. I need to leave no doubt. In the comment section to this video, tell me the fight where late Canelo steps on the gas and tries to leave no doubt. Right? I'm just telling you, Floyd Mayweather had it far too easy in the latter part of his fight against Canelo. I'm just here to tell you that Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. had it far too easy in the later rounds of his fight against Canelo. Do you know of an opponent who fought Golovkin who you thought had it far too easy for any stretch of a Golovkin fight? Folks, Danny Jacobs probably gives Golovkin his best fight. Look at Danny Jacobs at the end of that fight. Danny Jacobs barely survived that fight. I mean, look at him. They're interviewing him. Danny Jacobs is trying to catch his breath. you look at Danny and you realize, man, this guy is lucky that this fight didn't have a 13th round. Right? Kell Brook, folks, his corner throws in the towel. Before that, look at the string of KOs Golovkin had. And you mean to tell me that people are actually picking Canelo in this fight? You mean to tell me that Amir Khan, Floyd Mayweather, Gervonta Davis, Marquez, they're picking it? Carl Froch? I'm astonished. After you watch this video, I hope you go in my favorites and watch Stephen Lim's interview of James Toney. You might be astonished by that point of view. Now, I'm not as strident as James Toney. Right? I do feel Canelo is an excellent fighter, but not against this opponent. Right? If you're a guy who likes to drive within the speed limit, and you're going up against a guy who can hit you from across the street, who has intercontinental ballistic missiles. In other words, Canelo's going to show up to this fight as if it's the U.S. Civil War, right? Prepared to fight on a battlefield. Golovkin's going to be shooting intercontinental ballistic missiles from another country. Right? It doesn't mix. The styles don't mix. I'm expecting a KO by Golovkin. The bet I'm recommending is Golovkin simply to win. Why? Because the odds have dropped. I see Golovkin at a minus 140 now. Okay. I'll take the favorite simply to win. right? Give myself all 12 rounds and a decision. And I'll hedge the play with the under. So if, as I suspect, Golovkin gets the KO in the middle rounds, I can show up to the betting counter with two tickets and say, hey, here's a Golovkin simply to win. That obviously won. Oh, here's my under. That won too. Right? That's how I see this. Let me hear from you. I hope you leave your comments in the comment section to this video. Let me also add this caveat. I've watched a few Canelo fights where I thought the decisions were dubious. Right? I admit there's a blind spot in my game. Because on my scorecard, in a fight where he knocks down Austin Trout, I thought Austin Trout won that fight. I invite anyone interested in that fight to look at the CompuBox numbers. Right? I thought Arislandi Lara. Right? I thought Arislandi Lara beat Canelo. I understand I've heard from many of you who had it different. Let's just say that fight was close. I'm telling you, Freddie Roach and Miguel Cotto firmly thought they were ahead against Canelo. Right? Canelo got the decision there. There's some part of Canelo's game that appeals to judges. Right? But I personally don't see how Canelo can make this fight as close as the Danny Jacobs-Golovkin fight. I personally feel that if this goes the distance, Canelo loses by a few rounds. So just be aware of Canelo's history in winning close fights on the judges' scorecards, contrasted with my opinion in this video. All right, let me hear from you. I hope you leave your comments in the comment section to this video. Thanks for stopping by.